Welcome to Good Shepherd Episcopal Church in Venice, Florida. It's Easter Sunday, April 9th, 2023. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. As you listen to today's sermon by Father Joe Hudson, think about the following thoughts. Mary did not recognize the resurrected Jesus until he called her by name. When have you heard Jesus call your name? We all go through death to new life. Jesus said, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it cannot produce new fruit. What is new in you this Easter?
The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to John. On the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in. And he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have taken him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
May it all be in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Happy Easter. We heard in the Gospel that Mary Magdalene thought he was just a gardener, that is, until Jesus called her name, Mary. The scriptures tell us many fantastical things of the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, lepers being cleansed, and even the dead being raised to life again. And yet, even those who were raised from the dead would eventually die again one final time. But on this day, standing there right in front of Mary was a great mystery. Jesus, you see, had not simply been raised to his former life once more. He had somehow been altered and transmuted into some form never seen before in all the millennia of recorded time. He was an entirely new kind of thing, the kind of being that was made for eternity beyond all space and time, yet somehow still in human form. In this form, as Jesus, he was somehow kind of like Jesus, but yet not like Jesus. Mary, who knew Jesus intimately, down to every dimple and wrinkle and birthmark on that beautiful face of his, somehow didn't recognize him. She mistook him for the gardener. The two disciples who walked with him on the road to Emmaus didn't recognize him either. In this new form of his, he took time to eat and touch people and be touched and to disappear and reappear and even seemingly maybe even walk through walls. But amazingly, as this new kind of form that was found in Jesus is, the scriptures also inform us that there will one day be many more like him. Our future eternal hope is spoken of when it states that this new Jesus was the firstborn from among the dead. You see, he was the first of many more yet to come. Today is Resurrection Sunday. Every year on this date, we take time to speak of the miracle of the empty tomb. This is the central truth of our faith. The Apostle Paul once said, "And if Christ had not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless." If Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead, then instead of spending our time and work and money on this institution, we might as well go to the Venice Community Center, or Elks, or the American Legion. And maybe some of you are thinking now, yeah, I could use a drink. But despite how central Jesus' resurrection is to our lives, there is another vital resurrection that we don't often talk about on this day. It is your resurrection and mine. In today's Colossian passage, the Apostle Paul begins with these words, "Since you have been raised with Christ." You see, the power that raised Jesus that long ago day also brought about a resurrection for us as well. But unlike Jesus' physical resurrection, ours is of a different kind, at least for now. Ours is a spiritual resurrection, a soul resurrection, a resurrection in our minds and our hearts. But in order for every kind of resurrection to occur, including Jesus, there must be a death that precedes it. In Colossians, we read, "You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." We are told that in order for us to be in Christ, we must first experience death. Jesus elsewhere said, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." You see, death must come first. Or as I stated on Good Friday, we must all, like the prophet Jonah in the story about the whale, experience the belly of the beast. Each of us must face our own dying and darkness before we may hope to experience the light of resurrection. You and I grow up and enter adulthood and mature, establishing a particular set of friendships and relationships, a unique education and experience and set of values. This makes us who we are. If our Christian faith is a part of who we are, then our parents probably baptized us as infants, or maybe we came to faith later in life. But being a Christian carries with it a certain set of expectations. It means more than simply taking our lives as they are lived in this world, as the world lives it, and simply adding just a teaspoon of Jesus, or a little church, or a little Christianity. You see, God desires more for us. Something more must occur in our lives if we are to experience the hope of the resurrection. There must be some kind of a death preceding any kind of resurrection life in order to experience the freedom and joy and life that is meant to be ours in Christ. We must face our own darkness in the clear light of Christ. Now, I know this may seem a little bit of a bummer on this resurrection day, but that is the truth. Death precedes life. Life is meant to be a journey of walking step by step from darkness into light, from one degree of death into a new degree of life. Here's what I mean. Let's take our minds for example. We must walk slowly from darkness into light. We may have been baptized into the faith and maybe grown up and heard the scriptures, learned the traditions of our faith, gone through catechism. Our minds have been enlightened. And yet as we continue to grow and mature, if we are open, God will continue to reveal new levels where the darkness within us has hindered us from seeing more clearly the truth of the light of Christ. And so we have the opportunity to expand our mental understanding of life and faith and humanity and God. Likewise, our hearts and emotions are also meant to make a journey from darkness into light. As God is slowly revealed to us and we experience bit by bit more fully the love of God, we see this love when others go out of their way to care for us, or we experience God in a glorious sunset, or God speaks his love to us in other very subtle and sometimes even profound ways. This journey of ever newer experience of transformation from death to life brings with it a bit of a struggle for you and me. And it is in this way that we can identify with the prophet Jonah, who had a choice to follow God's direction in his life or to ignore it. You see, God frequently through our lives calls us to a deeper and deeper intimacy, into fuller knowledge, greater surrender, bigger knowing. When these opportunities come our way, we can choose to walk into this new light, or often out of fear and a struggle with the unknown, remain in our former darkness. And yet if we choose to remain and not move forward, we miss out on the joy and freedom and light that is awaiting us on the other side of that darkness. We are called to varying degrees of death so that we may be more fully hidden with Christ in God. The Apostle Paul said, "Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." May you and I walk boldly through our own variety of dyings, so that we may encounter ever newer levels of resurrection life and hope and knowing and loving. Amen.